From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
And welcome to the Disc Golf News for the week of September 6, 2004. I'm Brian Sullivan. Hope your holiday weekend was great. We got a terrific show coming up for you. Here we go. Results from the West Virginia Open and Pawpaw. We've got those for you. Plus, professional disc golfer Larry Leonard has some tips to help you play better in the rain in this week's 60-second clinic. The amateurs of the United States are headed to Michigan this weekend. It's the U.S. Amateur Disc Golf Championships. We've got a preview of that one for you. And how do you get yourself an absolutely free disc golf course? Well, yes, the Disc Golf Foundation. And the Foundation's J. Gary Dropcho is with us this week. He'll be telling us more about what those folks are doing, including how they're helping to integrate disc golf into the Boy Scouts.
Now, Cub Scouts can earn their badge at playing disc golf or ultimate or whatever they want to.
So stick around. There's lots coming up. It's PDGA Radio News, brought to you by Discovering the World at dtworld.com. Also brought to you by Discraft at discraft.com.
Since 1979, Discraft has designed and manufactured tournament-quality flying discs for all disc sports. Our disc golf line is second to none. From beginners to world champion pros, disc golfers everywhere rely on the quality, consistency, and durability of every Discraft Pro Golf disc. Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
The average disc golfer's new secret weapon is the Flash Maximum Distance Driver. Available now from Discraft and your local disc golf retailer. 173 of Disc Golf's big dogs were in Pawpaw, West Virginia last weekend for the West Virginia Open. Results coming your way. We'll begin with the Masters Division, where Maryland's Jim Myers already had two titles from this event under his belt. He's going to make it three and wins this one by five over Michigan's Al Shaq, Joey Mila, and Dan Pfeiffer, tied for third in the Masters Division. Now, to the women, where former world champ Jess Redding had no problem whatsoever. Clean it up. She's going to win it by 14. Rachel Mansour is going to take second place. Mandy Snodgrass will take third. Now, to the Open Division, where Ohio's Tyler Horn shoots a new record at Woodshed, two over par. Yeah, that's a new course record. And he cleans up big time. Unbelievable. Shoots 7 under par, 12 better than anybody else. Brian Gawler and Craig Gangloff tie for second place. Gawler, by the way, along with Brian Skinner and Brad Schick, all tie for a new record at Whipping Post at 4 over par. Now, tournament director Tony Ellis had this to say about Tyler Horn's performance this weekend.
Tyler Horn's from Columbus, Ohio. He was throwing shots that were amazing. He actually birdied hole one on the Woodshed, which is about 538 feet downhill. And the last 200 feet, you actually have to cross over the pond and land on a dike. He actually put it within 20 and canned the putt. He shredded the course like it's never been played before.
Time now for the 60-second clinic. Now, to my knowledge, nobody out there really enjoys playing disc golf in the rain. But, you know, sometimes it just has to be done. Well, there's one guy out there who, chances are good, is going to beat you time after time after time when you have to play in the rain. He is North Carolina's Larry Leonard, and this week he's going to share some tips with you on his secrets to succeeding in the wet stuff.
The biggest tip I can give people for throwing in the rain is you cannot throw 100% power in the rain. Your hands are wet. Your grip is not as strong. It's slippery. You have to back down a disc. An example is if you're used to throwing a rock, throw a driver 70 or 80% power. If you're used to throwing an AVR hard, back down and throw a rock smoothly with power. Work on your form, throw smoothly, and concentrate on your release. And you absolutely cannot throw 100% power with any disc because you cannot hold on to it. To keep my disc dry, I use a chamois is the best thing I've found to keep a disc dry. The only problem is if it gets raining hard enough, your hands will get wet and soaked with, you know, fairly wet, and you won't be able to keep your hands dry enough to throw 100% power, so you just can't do it. You know, of course, use a bunch of towels and everything to try to keep it dry. And if you can get it absolutely dry, you can throw as hard as you can, but I would recommend trying to back down a disc and throw it smoothly.
Professional disc golfer Larry Leonard hails from Raleigh, North Carolina. He finished fifth last weekend at the West Virginia Open. Coming up, we talk Disc Golf Foundation with J. Gary Dropcho.
Disc golfing should be inexpensive and fun. Discovering the World wants nothing more than to help you have fun. They offer a wide variety of disc golf and PDGA products. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Orders ship within 24 hours, and there's a retail location open 7 days a week to deal with you personally. Call 714-522-2202 or visit dtworld.com to see the full selection available now from Discovering the World.
Hi, this is world champion Barry Schultz, and you are listening to PDGA Radio News.
In the big picture this week, we wanted to find out more about the Disc Golf Foundation. What is it? What are they doing? And where are they going? Well, one guy who has answers to all of these questions is Pittsburgh's J. Gary Dropcho. He sits on the board of directors for the foundation, and we had a chance to sit down and talk about the Disc Golf Foundation this year at the World Championships. J. Gary Dropcho, welcome to PDGA Radio.
Thanks, Brian.
Now, you are the treasurer of the Disc Golf Foundation, so let's begin with a definition. What exactly is the Disc Golf Foundation?
The Disc Golf Foundation's a 501c3 organization, nonprofit, charitable organization, and our mission is threefold: education, advancement, and endowment. And specifically, obviously, disc golf is our focus. And the organization was chartered 2 years ago, and then just this year in 2004 got our 501c3 status from the Internal Revenue Service, which means now we can accept donations and issue people a tax-deductible receipt for their contribution. So people can donate money to the Disc Golf Foundation and further the spread of new courses, further the education that's done in schools and in other organizations of disc golf. By making a donation, a small donation, even $25, $100, or perhaps a larger endowment kind of donation that might help to fund the permanent home of the Disc Golf Hall of Fame or the Steady Ed Memorial Museum or other programs like the Matching Baskets program, which we also administer.
Now, how did the foundation get started? Whose idea was this?
I think Elaine King and John Houck have kind of been the people who have got the ball rolling, and they're two of the members on our board of directors. John Houck's the president, and Elaine King's our secretary. But I think the idea of it goes back probably to people realizing that people wanted to contribute to disc golf and its advancement, but also wanted to gain a tax advantage by doing so. The PDGA is not that kind of organization, and it doesn't even have the same mission as the Disc Golf Foundation. So this separate organization was kind of birthed as a result of that. And the PDGA is, behind the Disc Golf Foundation, in fact, helped to fund it in some ways, gave us some seed funding, and has, again, contributed to our efforts this year. The major disc manufacturers are part of the effort. The Disc Golf Association has, through the sale of the Steady Ed Memorial Discs, the disc with Ed's ashes in it,
mm-hmm.
The proceeds of those are going to the Disc Golf Foundation with the expressed intent that they will be used to establish the Steady Ed Memorial Museum. The other manufacturers, Discraft and Innova, have also contributed baskets, which are awarded to colleges that want to put in an 18-hole disc golf course on their campus and who apply through the Matching Basket program to do that. And through the Disc Golf Foundation, we'll give them 9 baskets if they agree to buy 9 other baskets and put in that 18-hole course. And we've already put in something like ten of those matching baskets courses in the past years.
And how many years are we talking about?
Well, the matching baskets program goes back quite a few years, mm-hmm. probably something like 8 years.
And were those 10 courses that were put in part of that long 10-year process?
Yes.
Okay.
The last three courses have been put in the past year and a half by the Disc Golf Foundation.
So let's say I am I'm a disc golfer and I'm also a college student, and I really, you know, there's no course on my campus and I really want one. Before I begin the process of approaching the Disc Golf Foundation and hoping to be a part of the matching basket program, what kind of parameters do I need to think about?
Well, you got to get your college to agree to put a course in on its campus. And they have to agree to it being an 18-hole course and agree to maintain it and keep it going for the life of the course, which could be forever. The approval process is pretty easy, actually. The application process is pretty easy.
So there's no fee or anything like that?
It doesn't cost anything to apply. You just have to have the university behind your efforts and agreeing to put the course in on university property and making it playable for students.
Now, let's say I live in a community where, okay, I don't have a course on campus, but I've got three in the community nearby. Is the foundation really going to take a hard look at me, or are they going to tend to focus on a college where maybe there's not a course for 20, 30 miles?
That's a good question, because part of our mission here is the advancement of the sport, so we really are looking for places that don't have a lot of courses already nearby. So it's sort of the idea of seeding a course, putting a course in a place where there isn't one already, and that will develop new players. That doesn't mean that they can't go if you're in a place where there is another course nearby that you might not be eligible for the grant. Because we've awarded some courses in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, which is in Eastern PA, and there's 15 courses in that area. So it's not the only criteria, but that's one of the ones we look for.
Mm-hmm. So the Disc Golf Foundation's been around a while now. So what's new? I know some other things are cooking.
The two newest programs that we're working on. One that we're still kind of hammering out the details of it, but in principle, we've agreed to become the chartering organization for the Boy Scouts of America's venturing program. Now, the Boy Scouts venturing program is, I guess I would call it it's the next step in scouting after Eagle Scouts. Eagle Scouts, people probably know, are, you know, some of the most decorated scouts. They've won all the badges. They've done some incredible organizing project on their own sometime before they graduated high school. Well, the venturing program gives scouts either after they've become an Eagle Scout, or perhaps if somebody has never been a scout, never been an Eagle Scout, and maybe 18 or 20 or 22 years old, gives them a chance to be involved in a community organization that does some important efforts in their neighborhoods. And through the Minsky Trails Council and John Dusler, who's one of the TDs for the 2005 Pro Worlds, and he'll be our chairperson on this Boy Scouts committee, the Minsky Trails Council will establish a disc golf crew, venture crew. And the thing about that's really cool about venturing is that these scouts determine their own mission. It's not like the Disc Golf Foundation is out to tell them what it is they want to do or can do. They've already said they want to do some things with disc golf, and what they'll do is really however they decide to do it. That could be establishing a disc golf league with a high school. It could be doing upkeep, improvement, or even establishing a new course. It could be working with, you know, senior citizens on by playing disc golf and kind of showing them the lifetime nature of the sport.
Okay,
so
sure.
It's up to them to really determine it, and we think it's a really great opportunity to advance the sport.
Now, let me ask you this: if the Disc Golf Foundation is now kind of hooked into the Boy Scouts through the venture program, will that filter down through the other scouting programs? Is disc golf going to become, you know, is the awareness of disc golf going to become greater because of this?
Well, yeah, I think so, because one of the things that's happened in scouts, and this is at the Cub Scout level, is they have had a belt loop for playing ultimate. Well, it always seemed like something's missing here. And I think they've got it right now because they've changed that to a disc golf or ultimate belt loop. So now Cub Scouts can earn their badge at playing disc golf or ultimate or whatever they want to. So these Venture Scouts, I mean, that's the obvious audience for their program is younger scouts, whether it be you know, an Eagle Scout or a Weeblos or a Cub Scout. And that's where they can probably have the most impact and reach the most people is their own scouting community. So, yeah, the Venture Scouts could be developing the next junior world champion in the Cub Scout division.
Super cool. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Well, okay. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Two things. First of all, if I want to make a donation or maybe even an endowment to the Disc Golf Foundation, how do I contact the foundation?
Well, our website is just now up and running, and it's discgolffoundation.net, and it's all one word, and spell it out with all the letters, discgolffoundation.net, discgolffoundation.net, and all the information is there. In fact, the matching basket application will be online there, and any other information about us. You can email any of the board of directors, and their email are on that website, or you can write to us at Disc Golf Foundation. That's 141 Maple Drive in Wexford, PA 15090.
And if someone is looking, you know, maybe they don't have a lot of financial resources, but they still want to help. If you're looking for volunteers.
Well, we can certainly put people in contact with the right places if they want to volunteer. I mean, I think we're the people on the board include John Houck and Pad Timmons, Don Hoffman, Elaine King, myself, Mark Ellis, and Tim Selinsky. And all those people have been playing disc golf for 20 years or more. They're all well connected with all of the different organizations, and they know who to talk to. So they'll find the right place for any volunteers.
J. Gary Dropcho is the treasurer of the Disc Golf Foundation, and of course you'll find a link to the foundation on the PDGA Radio webpage. J. Gary, thanks for spending some time with us.
Very cool. Thanks, Brian.
You know, it's easy to get excited about the pro players. I mean, hey, there's Barry. Hey, there's Kenny Climo. Ah, let's go watch them. But you know, really, this sport and this organization is really all about the amateur players. So, Ams, this is your weekend. That's right, Amps from hither and yon are headed to the Detroit area in Michigan this weekend for the United States Amateur Disc Golf Championship. This has been going strong now for a few years, getting stronger every year. The tournament director is Todd White.
The first amateur disc golf championship was held back in the 80s at Boylan Farms, the family farms down there. It stopped. I believe in 88, I think was the last year, and then we rekindled it in 2002, using the Toboggan course, which was used for the 2000 Pro-Am Worlds held in Michigan. We did that so we could try to give the amateurs a taste of what it's like to compete at a top level, you know, have a national champion for the amateurs. One of the major sponsors of this tournament, Discraft, is basically responsible for running, you know, financing the tournament. They give a great players package every year, which is worth more than your entrance fee. They help us put in the tournament, or in the course, run the tournament, things like that. The PDGA also has done some sponsorship for us, which has helped a lot. They're the governing body. And without both of those, especially Discraft, this tournament would not be possible.
And tell me a little bit about last year's champion. Will he be back, or has he moved up?
Last year's champion, Peter Middlekamp, has moved up into the pro ranks. He's actually doing very well on the national tour, and he will be back this year to hand off the trophy to this year's winner.
At Kensington Park, the Toboggan course, this is a temporary course set up just for this event, and as I understand, it is one wicked tough course. Tell me about it.
Yeah, the Toboggan is only put in for this tournament. We put it in a week or two before the tournament so people can at least play it beforehand. It averages about 480 foot a hole, and there is elevation changes of at least 25 feet on every single hole that you play.
And for someone who hopes to win this event, what kind of scores are they going to have to turn in?
Last year's winner, Peter Middlekamp, had shot three consecutive rounds of four over, 54 par, so he shot three rounds of 58 on 18 holes.
Now, Todd, you're doing something different this year. You are allowing people to get qualified the week before the event. Talk about that.
The week of qualifying is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We shut up shop around 9 a.m. and go till about 2 for the final tee off. Let the players pay a qualifying fee, try to shoot the hot round for any spots that are still available on the 144-person field.
And at this point, are you looking at a full field this year?
Possibly. We're hoping to get a full field this year. We have, you know, a little over 40 spots available, and we're getting a pretty good turnout this year of top amateurs, at least in this section of the country. And I'm told that other people are traveling with their caddies, and the caddies are also going to try to qualify if they didn't have a chance somewhere else.
Todd Weitz is the tournament director for this weekend's U.S. Amateur Disc Golf Championship in Milford, Michigan. He spoke to us from his cell phone out there on the brutally tough toboggan course. You know, there is an absolute truckload of other things going on this weekend, September 10th and 11th. If you're a pro, you may be headed to Tokyo for the Japan Open. Remember, that's 150 class only. In Burlington, North Carolina, it's the 19th Sneaky Pete, and in Warwick, New York, the New York State Championships. In Georgia, it's the Lake Russell Open this weekend, and in Dexter, Oregon, the Eugene Celebration. Hayes, Kansas, hosting the Frontier Open. In Minnesota, it's the Heroes and Champions Tournament. And in Somerset, Kentucky, it's the Lake Cumberland Open. Plus, Kalamazoo, Michigan, the Lumberjack. In Monterey, it's the NorCal Series Championships. And in Finland, it's the Pori Open. Solitude, Utah. Utah Challenge. Not enough for you? No problem. Dayton, it's the Wright Brothers Classic. In Florida, it's the Florida State Championships. Gateway Open in St. Louis. In Colorado, it's the Snow Mountain Challenge. I mean, this list just goes on and on and on. Check it out day or night, pdga.com. And finally this week, we've got some fresh tour stats for you. Everybody loves new stats, don't we?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Just feel free to smack me anytime. Spending some time with the nieces and nephew this weekend. Okay, here we go. We got some tour money leaders as of September 1st. Your top spot filled by none other than world champion Barry Schultz, just under $30,000 on the year for him. Second and third spots, Cameron Todd, Brad Hammack at $18,500 each. Ken Climo in the fourth spot, $13,500. David Fellberg, number five, at $12,100 on the year. And let's see what else we got interesting on this list. Your first woman on the list is in the 13th spot. Des Redding on the year has earned herself $7,600. Carrie Berlanger right behind her, $6,700. And if you're headed to Michigan this year, amateurs, listen up. Last year's amateur national champ, Peter Middlecamp, 20th on this year's cash list at the moment. He is sitting at $5,500 on the season. And that, my friends, is the Disc Golf News for the week of September 6th for the PDGA. I'm Brian Sullivan. Our sponsors are Discovering the World, DTWorld.com, and Discraft at Discraft.com. Get out, throw some plastic, stay out of the shul, and keep them in the fairways.